We're going to commence by turning to hymn number 42. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power through all the universe displayed. Standing as we sing this great old hymn of old.
Thank you.
turn to our psalm today, it's Psalm 130, commencing to read at verse 1, and this is what the word of the Lord hath to say. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Ending our reading at verse 8, we trust that the Lord will add with his own divine stamp of blessing and approval the public reading of his precious and inerrant word. We're delighted to have with us one of our ruling elders, our brother Wesley McCauley, and we're going to ask Wesley if he'll come and lead us to the throne of grace in prayer.
Let us all pray. Our Heavenly Father and Eternal God, we bow before thee this morning with reverence and humility as we commence our morning worship service. We come with reverence into thy presence because, in the words of the hymn that we've just been singing, we realize how great thou art. We realize that we come to the presence of Almighty God. And Lord, we come humbly because we realize indeed our humility. We realize that our righteousness is indeed as filthy rags in thy sight. But Lord, we come to thee not on our own merits, but we come through our Savior and through the precious blood that he did shed for us on Calvary. And so, Lord, we come now beseeching that you will presence thyself with us in a very real way this morning. Lord, you promised in thy word that where the two and three are gathered together in thy name, that there they will be in their midst. And, O Lord, we just ask that we will know thee in our midst this morning. We pray as we sing thy praise and as we read thy word, O Lord, you will speak to each of our hearts. And Lord, as we come to the message this morning and as our brother Lyle comes to bring that message to us, O Lord, we pray you'll speak especially through thy word. We thank thee that thy word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And O Lord, as he preaches forth the message that you have given to him for today, we pray that you will speak to each of our hearts. O Lord, some of us need encouraged this morning. Some of us need instructed. Perhaps some of us, Lord, need rebuked. And O Lord, we pray you'll do that from thy word today. And Lord, we think of those who are gathered in thy house this morning, and they know not thee as Savior. And Lord, we're so delighted to have them with us this morning. But O Lord, we long that they too would come to know the Savior that we love and serve. And so, Lord, we pray that you will have a word for them today. Remember those who cannot be with us. We think of those who are sick and laid aside at this time. We think especially of Maureen, and we think also of Mervyn and others who would love to be at the house of God this morning but are unable to be here because of sickness. We pray for the aged as well, Lord. We pray that thou wilt be with them. And for those who will listen in to the service over the internet this morning, Lord, we pray that they might know the blessing that we enjoy here in thy house also. Remember our pastor, Lord. We pray for him and his family as they have that time of holiday. We pray that they will know a blessing there. And, oh God, you'll bring them back to this work again, refreshed and reinvigored. And Lord, what we ask for this service in Hebron this morning, we pray for everywhere across this land where thy word is going forth. We think of the many churches and meeting houses where the gospel will be preached today. O Lord, we pray that you will move amongst those who know not thee, that we might see a reviving of hearts. Mm. And, O Lord, we'll see a great and mighty work done in our little province. Mm. So, Lord, presence thyself with us now. Mm. And, Lord, we'll be careful to give thee all the praise, the honour and the glory for all that thou dost do. Mm. For we ask it for thy name's sake. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Wesley. Well, can we welcome you one and all to our service of worship here in Hebron today. For those who are visiting with us, a special word of welcome to you. And of course, we do always welcome those who are tuned in on the World Wide Web, on Sermon Audio, Facebook and YouTube. I want to give a special word of welcome to our visiting preacher today, Pastor Dennis Lyle. He's no stranger to us here in Hebron. He spoke at our Bible conference not so long back, and we have been richly blessed of his ministry in bygone days, and we trust that he feels at home amongst us this afternoon, as in a short while he'll come and labour in the word. This afternoon we meet at 3:30 in the Glebe side for our open air witness in the month of August each year. We go out as a fellowship in order to visit the different districts here and neighbourhoods. And this Lord's Day, it will be the Glebe side at 3:30. Please join us this evening for the family night service at 7 p.m. in the will of the Lord. We trust that our sister Hannah Armstrong will be with us to minister in song. And again, Pastor Lyle will be along with us also to labour in the word this evening. There is a time of prayer prior to the gospel service. We will gather in the minister's room, in the committee room, I should say, at 6:30 in order to bombard the throne of grace and pray the blessing of God upon the gospel service. Refreshments will be served after the evening service. Now, there is a team of ladies who have been identified who will bring along the food this evening and will serve the food. I know we always ask for biscuits and cakes and buns to be brought along, but that won't be necessary this evening. We can hold them off until next week, whilst the ladies who have been identified by Elaine will come along and will do that the refreshments for us this evening. On Wednesday, David and Rachel McCauley leave as a family and travel to Uganda. And they're going to be at the mission station there in Uganda for certainly the month of August. And we would like to like you all to remember them in prayer as they go and seek to serve the Lord and be a source of encouragement to the folks that are out there. David would normally be with us if he's not ministering on the Lord's Day, but today he is, and he's away with the family and ministering elsewhere. So we will remember our brother in a few moments' time and just pray that God might bless him as he travels on Wednesday with the family. On Thursday, we have our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. It takes place at 8 p.m. And in the will of the Lord, we trust that Mr. Greg Gibson, one of our own here in Hebron, will be along to minister the word on Thursday evening. Please plan to be with us. Next Lord's Day, we commence with our early morning time of prayer at 8 a.m. The noonday service will be taken by the Reverend Ian Gollagher, minister of one of our Canadian churches. I believe our brother has now recently retired, but he'll be with us next Lord's Day. And please plan to join us. We trust that the Reverend Park will be back from his holidays, and I believe he will be leading the service next Lord's Day. The open air at 3:30 will be in Carnani, and so please plan to join with us for that open air witness. And then the gospel service, again in the will of the Lord, will take place at 7 p.m. The preacher, the Reverend Gollagher, once more, and we'll meet for a season of prayer at 6:30. Can we thank you one and all for your tithes and gifts and offerings to the Lord's work here in Hebron today? Let the Bible Speak envelopes and the missionary covenant support will be accepted and taken in. And next Lord's Day will be the fund for the building envelope fund. Please remember the Youth Challenge, which commences on Monday the 15th through till Friday the 19th of August. This year, the Youth Challenge is going to take on a slightly different format, in as much as it's going to be a football camp from 2:30 through till 5 p.m. And then there will be a meeting from 7 p.m. through till 8:30. We plan to have the Lord's Day service, Parents' Night, on the 21st of August. So please pray that the Lord might move in a mighty way. We have had a tremendous response, and a lot of people have signed up for this event. And so there are some leaflets at the back, and there's also roads that haven't been covered yet with the leaflets. We would encourage again our folks here to take a look at the list at the back, and if you can take 1, 2, 3, 4 roads and post those leaflets, then we would be very much obliged. Just put your name on the list at the rear of the church. We would like to thank Arlene, and we'd also like to thank Yule for opening up their home last evening for the young people. It was the young people's barbecue, and I think they did it last year as well. They planned for 50 to 55 young people to attend, and I think there was upwards of over 75 people yesterday. Now, there was a geriatric branch of the young people's that came in, because I saw Alec Taylor at the young people's last night, and I saw Robert McCauley and Sean McCauley. And so there was a few of them that mingled in there. They made their way in on the Zimmer frames, and we gave them something to eat, and then their helpers came to take them home. And so we had a great time, and again, on behalf of Samuel and the young people and the Kirk Session and Committee of the Church, we do want to thank Arlene, and we want to thank you for opening up the home and giving the young people a tremendous time yesterday. Please remember those who are on the prayer list. Elizabeth Connolly was in hospital this week, and thankfully she's now out of hospital. Mervyn Miller is now home, and we're delighted to see that Peter's with us, Peter Moy, today. But please pray down this list that the Lord might be pleased to raise these loved ones to a full measure of health and of strength. Before we do anything else, we're just going to bow for a wee word of prayer, and we're going to lift our hearts on behalf of David and Rachel as they plan to go out. So let's just bow for prayer, please. Father in heaven, we do thank thee for the life of David and of Rachel, and we thank thee, Lord, for the homes in which they have been raised. We do bless thee for that time when thou didst move in each of their lives. They were brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Thank thee for the call of God that thou didst place upon our brother's life, and for his willingness to take that step of faith and to seek to serve thee with not less than his all. Lord, as our brother and sister and their family now plan to go out and to attend the land of Uganda for this next month, we pray that thou will go before them, that thou will prepare the way, that they might be a blessing to thy people in that corner of thy vineyard. We pray that you will keep them safe from any harm and from all danger. And grant, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to use them in the service of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so, Lord, we just lovingly as a congregation commend them to thy care and to thy keeping. Grant that thou wilt give them the soul winner's joy, being able to point men and women and boys and girls to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. For we ask these things in the Saviour's precious and in his worthy name. Amen. Can we again stand to sing hymn number 532? Above thine own ambitions here, another voice is sounding clear. It is the call of God to thee. O leave thy all and follow me. Standing as we sing this great old gospel hymn. Indeed, delighted to have Pastor Dennis Lyle with us this afternoon. I suppose we all have favourite preachers, and I have to confess our brother is one of my favourite preachers. I often listen to him about 6 o'clock in the morning when travelling to work or travelling home of an evening. He was in our Cookstown congregation last Lord's Day in the evening service. I was there in the morning service, so I was the warm-up act. I told them that they were in for a treat, and I believe that we are in for a treat today. And so, without further ado, we bid you welcome in the Saviour's precious and worthy name, And we trust that the Lord will bless you, brother, as you come amongst us now and labour in the word.
If you have a copy of the Word of God with you this morning, we're turning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, please. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and we're reading at verse 13. And as you turn and find the place, let me thank Philip for his kind words of welcome. It's a pleasure and an honour and a privilege to be with you in Ballymoney today and to have this opportunity of ministering the Word of God. And I want to thank your pastor, the Reverend Park, for his invitation to come today and to have this opportunity of ministering the Word this morning and then preaching the Gospel tonight. Do remember our Gospel service tonight. Maybe there's someone that you can invite that you know is not saved. Maybe you can send them a text or ring them or bring them along tonight under the sound of the Gospel that they might hear words whereby they might be saved. You are in our prayers, and every Lord's Day morning we bring you before the throne of grace in prayer, especially your pastor as he comes to preach the Word. And I know that in these days you've been doing a tremendous work in looking after our friends from Ukraine, and we commend you for that, and also your pastor and his wife for the tremendous work that they're doing in this respect. And so we do remember you in our prayers, and as I say, it's a real joy and privilege to be here today. Trust I'll not keep you too late. I heard the story about the fellow who was preaching, and he was going on fairly well, but there was a guy in the congregation, and he was shouting hallelujah. We don't often get hallelujahs in our circles today. We're a wee bit like wooden Indians. But this man was shouting hallelujah. And when a preacher gets something like that, well, he gets his second wind. And the preacher went on 30 minutes longer than Hanny had planned. And as the service was ending, as the folk were going out through the door, the preacher thought that he would thank this man who was shouting hallelujah. And so he gripped him by the hand and he says, "Brother, thank you for your encouragement." And the man looked at him somewhat bewildered. He said, "Thank you for shouting hallelujah." He says, "I wasn't shouting hallelujah, I was shouting that'll do you." Well, I trust that you'll not have to shout that today. We're turning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and we're reading, please, at the verse 13. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of holy heartburn. Holy heartburn. And we're reading in Luke 24, and we're reading at the verse 13. Let's just bow in a moment of prayer. Father, we thank you today for the privilege of worship. We thank you for the opportunity of turning aside from the things that have been occupying our hearts and our minds, of being still and knowing that thou art God. And our Father, we thank you today that we hold in our hands the infallible, inspired, indestructible Word of the living God. We believe with all our hearts that when Scripture speaks, God speaks. And so, Lord, we pray that as we come to thy word, that we might know the help and the aid and the ministry and the energizing power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, that your word would have free course in our midst and be glorified. Speak, Lord, in the stillness while we wait on thee. Hush our hearts to listen in expectancy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and we read at verse 13. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and we read at verse 13. And be told, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Isn't that a beautiful expression in our authorized version? Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" The one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel, and beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us. It is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Ending at verse 35, let's keep our Bibles open there at Luke 24, and may the Lord help us as we gather around his inspired word this morning. David Livingstone was born on the 19th of March, 1813, in Blantyre, in South Lanarkshire, in Scotland. His father would often put him on his knee and read him missionary stories. One day, David Livingstone said, You know, Daddy, I want to be a missionary just like that. And so David Livingstone got on his knees one day, and he prayed this prayer, Send me anywhere, only go with me. Lay any burden upon me, only sustain me. Sever any ties, but the ties that bind me to your service and to your heart. And through it all, he heard the words of the Lord Jesus, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He packed his bags and went off to the continent of Africa. And when he took a look at Africa from a distance, he penned these words in his journal. The haunting specter of the smoke of 1,000 villages in the morning sun has burned within my heart. In 1845, he married a girl named Mary Moffat, and they had 4 children. However, life was too dangerous for Mary and the 4 children on the continent of Africa, and he sent them back to the United Kingdom in 1852. And do you know when he saw them again? Not 5 days, not 5 weeks, not 5 months, 5 years. And when Mary saw him, she barely recognized him. His face was scarred with the African sun. He was blind in one eye. His left hand was dangling by his side, mauled by a lion. And yet it is said that when David Livingstone walked into any university in the United Kingdom, the faculty and the students stood to their feet, for they realized they were in the presence of a man of God. Finally, he said, Mary, I must go back to Africa. The haunting specter of the smoke of 1,000 villages in the morning sun is still burning within my heart. And David Livingstone went back to Africa. And after some time, Mary joined him. And the day she stepped on African soil, she contracted a disease, and he buried her a few days later. He picked up his belongings. He returned to his village home. Finally, he got so weak they had to carry him from village to village as he sought to preach the gospel. One day he said to his native friends, "Take me home, I'm so ill." They wanted to put him to bed. He said, "Put me on my knees to pray." It was there. They found Livingstone sometime later, dead. The haunting specter of the smoke of 1,000 villages in the morning sun has burned within my heart. Brethren and sisters, is that not our greatest need today? We need churches and Christians aglow, on fire for the Lord. The early church so turned the world upside down that within 3 centuries, 1/10 of the Roman Empire was Christian, a heart on fire for God. Is that not what this passage is all about? I mean, here is Cleopas and possibly Mary, his wife, 2 of the Lord's disciples, with their faces toward the village of Emmaus. These 2 disciples walk with feet of lead as heavy as their hearts. And of course, they talk together. I mean, enough things had been happening in the city of Jerusalem over the past few days to keep them talking for a very long time. The wonder-working Savior had come riding into the city, hailed by the people as the very Messiah himself. The religious establishment, however, determined to put him to death, had bought Judas, browbeaten Pilate, manipulated the mob. They had hounded the Lord Jesus to his cross and to his death. And now, 3 days later, it was evidently all over. And here they were. They were going to their village home. They were going down the mountain road. And then Jesus himself draws near and he goes with them. Has your heart not burned within you as the risen Lord has walked and talked with you by the way? What I want to do with you this afternoon is for you simply to walk this Emmaus road with me. And as we do, I trust we'll have an encounter with the living Lord. There are 3 pictures in this story that I want you to notice this afternoon. Here's the first picture. I want you to notice the stranger that is unrecognized. The stranger that is unrecognized. I say stranger, for look at verse 16, or rather verse 18. "And the one of them whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto them, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" What a question. He was no stranger in Jerusalem. He had watched over its history for 2,000 years. If the truth be told, it was his city. As for the events which had taken place, well, he knew more about those things than anyone else, because they had all happened to him. He had scars on his back. He had wounds on his hands, his feet, his side. These 2 disciples walked 7 miles with the Lord Jesus, and they didn't know that it was he himself who was walking with them unrecognized. You see verse 16, "But their eyes were holden that they should not know him." I think they were divinely kept from recognizing the Lord Jesus so that they would base their understanding of the resurrection squarely on the scripture and not on experience. Their faith needed to be based on the scripture, not on the bodily presence of Christ. My dear friends, is it not the same today? It's the Word of God that God wants us to know. It's the Word of God that is the basis of our faith. And blinding the eyes of these 2 allowed Christ to teach them from the Word. And it was such teaching from the Word that caused their hearts to burn within them. The stranger that is unrecognized. Are there not times when the risen Lord goes unrecognized by us? Do we not have to confess that sometimes our eyes are blinded to His person, our eyes are blinded to His purpose, our eyes are blinded to His presence? Without question, He's with us, He's near us, He's around us, and yet for one reason or another, we fail to recognize Him. I mean, look at these two broken-hearted disciples. They were devastated. They were disappointed. They were discouraged. They were disillusioned. They needed a word from God. Did God care? Indeed, He did. And our resurrected Lord understood perfectly the confusion in their hearts. He not only knew their geographical location, He knew their spiritual condition. Can you see here His walk with them? Look at verse 15. Jesus Himself drew near, and He went with them. Now, that's lovely in English, but scholars tell us that in the Greek it's far more beautiful. The tense here is in the imperfect. It's the tense of going on and on and on, literally while they were communing with each other, while they were reasoning one with another. Jesus Himself drew near, and He went with them. You see, they were so absorbed in their conversation that He was walking with them before they knew it. They did not hear His footfall. They did not realize that someone was walking by their side. The risen Lord was there, and He was going down the mountain road with them. But they did not realize it. I wonder, has that been your experience? Has the risen Lord not intruded into your difficult moments, into your dark problems, into your depressing circumstances? I mean, look at these two for a moment. Emotionally, they were distressed. If you look at verse 17, the word for sad is an interesting word. It means dreary. It's the downcast look of settled grief. There was a lot of sadness that first Easter Sunday among the disciples of Christ. The disciples mourned and wept. Mary Magdalene stood without the sepulchre weeping. And now these two on the road to Emmaus were sad. But Jesus Himself drew near, and He went with them. He still does, doesn't He? I wonder, could these two be a picture of you this morning? Have you lost a best friend? Are you passing through sorrow, through disillusionment, through bewilderment, through disappointment? Do you feel this morning so utterly alone? Do you feel that no one cares? Listen, Christ cares. Indeed, Jesus Himself goes with you. For has He not said, I will never leave thee, I will never forsake thee? Emotionally, they were distressed. Look at verse 21. Politically, they were disillusioned. They said, we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Well, whatever had He been doing on the cross if He hadn't been providing redemption for Israel and for all mankind? You see, like so many in Israel, they were looking for a political Messiah. One who would deliver them from the tyranny of Rome. One who would boot Rome out of their country. But their hopes had been destroyed by the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. We get the impression that these two were discouraged because God didn't do what they wanted Him to do. Politically disillusioned. Wonder this morning, do you feel the same way? Maybe you're here and you're anxious about events locally, nationally, internationally. Maybe you're concerned concerning the security of our nation, our country, our land, its present, its future. Maybe COVID, Brexit, the protocol has been clouding your vision. May I remind you this morning that God is still on the throne, and whatever happens, Jesus Himself will draw near and He'll go with us. Emotionally, they were distressed. Politically, they were disillusioned. But look again. Look at verse 22. Spiritually, they were disorientated. They were confused. You notice their conversation in verse 22. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so, as the women had said. But him they saw not. Their faith had been shaken. Their hope had been shattered. Sure, they'd seen the mighty deeds of Jesus Christ. They'd seen him turn water into wine. They'd seen him raise a man from the dead. They and their faith had been alive. It had been vibrant. But now it's all in the past tense. He was a prophet, but Christ is no longer real to them. The empty tomb, which was good news, to them was bad news, because they thought that someone had stolen the body, spiritually disorientated. I wonder, is that true of you? Is your faith shaken? Maybe there was a time when your heart burned with faith, but the wear and tear of life has got a hold of you. And my dear friend, your faith this morning is limping along like a crippled bird. You've been living the Christian life for a period of years, but the truth of it this morning is this: your heart is cold. You need a holy heart burn. I heard about a professor who wrote a very learned book on love. The only defect was the old professor had never been in love. And when he took the manuscript to a typist to have it prepared for the publisher, the typist turned out to be a very lovely lady. And when their eyes met and their faces met, something happened in the professor that wasn't in the book. And he was happier in 5 minutes with love in his heart than he was with 30 years with love in his head. I wonder, does something like that not need to happen to us? Oh, we come, we go through the motions, but we lack the purpose, we lack the passion, we lack the power. We might have the facts, but where is the fire? We might have the theology, but where is the doxology? We might have the fundamentals, but where is the fervency? We might have the learning, but where is the love? Can you see his walk with them? Look at verse 17. Can you see his talk to them? He asked them a question, verse 17. What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? He had been at the heart of all that was happening in the city of Jerusalem, and now he was asking them to tell him what he already knows. But bless God today that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and pour out our hearts to him. Isn't it amazing how it lightens the burden when we tell the Lord about it? We used to sing a little chorus, a little talk with Jesus makes it right, all right. Well, it marvelously helps, doesn't it? Do you remember what happened after John the Baptist was beheaded? We're told the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, and they told him, is that what you do? Is that what you're doing? Tell it to the Savior. Do you bring your difficulties to the Lord Jesus? Do you bring your needs to the Lord Jesus? Do you bring your disappointments to the Lord Jesus? What about your failures? What about your sorrows? What about your bereavements? What about your victories? How the Savior delights for us to come to him and tell him everything that's on our heart. Picture number one, the stranger that is unrecognized. Here's the second picture, the scripture that is unfolded. The stranger that is unrecognized, the scripture that is unfolded. How does Christ bring them into a new appreciation of himself? How does he set their hearts on fire? Well, look at verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, or if you like, he interpreted unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The word expounded in verse 27 means to interpret fully. It's translated interpretation in Acts 9. Is that not what our pulpits need to give to the people? Paul exhorts the young preacher boy Timothy, preach the word, preach the word. Now, will you notice the need for this exposition? Look at verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of hearts to believe all that the prophets have spoken. That word fools means slow at the uptake. The word all means they had a lopsided view of Scripture. They believed some of what Christ said, but not all. They believed the glory part, but they could not accept the suffering part. They wanted a militant Messiah, but the Scriptures also spoke of a meek Messiah. They wanted a conquering Christ, but the Scriptures also spoke of a crucified Christ. They wanted a sovereign Christ, but the Scriptures also spoke of a suffering Christ, slow to believe after all that the prophets have spoken. Is that us? Are we selective in what we believe from the Scriptures? Do we love the passages about heaven, but we stumble at the passages about holiness? Do we love to hear about grace, but we're a wee bit more reluctant and hesitant to hear about giving? Are we glad to hear about salvation, but we're a wee bit slow to hear about consecration, slow to believe? Is that not our problem? Do we fail to take God at His word, to rest upon His promises? The result is bewilderment, disappointment, disillusionment. My friends, listen. The Lord has promised that He will keep us from falling. Yet are we slow to believe? The Lord has promised that He will meet all our need. Yet are we slow to believe? The Lord has promised that His grace is sufficient in every trial. Yet are we slow to believe? The Lord has promised that His cause will triumph. Yet are we slow to believe? I mean, can you see here the need for this exposition? And then can you see here the nature of this exposition? You'll notice it was biblical, verse 27. He expounded unto them the Scriptures. Now listen, here were two despondent, deficient, depressed disciples, and the living Lord tackles their problem. How? By turning their minds to the Word of God. How typical of the Lord Jesus. He based everything on the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of the living God. His first and final court of appeal was the Bible. A simple lesson, but surely a needed one for our churches. My friends, when we have problems, where do we turn to? Do we turn to the Word of God? Do we say, what saith the Scriptures on this matter? Is the Word of God our constant guide? I'm convinced that if I knew the Word of God better, I would have fewer problems. Now look, can you see the nature of this exposition? It was biblical. Look at verse 27 again. It was methodical, beginning at Moses. Why, that was beginning at the very first part of the Bible. The Bible is a very organized book. However, the way you and I often treat it, you would think there was no structure, no symmetry, no order to it. Can you see the nature of this exposition? Remind yourself that's Christ who's the teacher. It was biblical, it was methodical, but look at verse 27 again. It was Christological, the things concerning Himself. Did the Savior not say, search the Scriptures, for they are they which testify of Me? From Genesis to Revelation, in the volume of the book it is written of Me. Let me quote from Dr. Paisley. The Bible is Christ's album. In the first five books, the Pentateuch, we have the first glimmerings of Christ. In the historical books, we have the foreshadowings of Christ. In the Psalms, we have the feelings of Christ. In the prophets, we have the foretellings of Christ. In the Gospels, we have the facts of Christ. In the epistles, we have the fullness of Christ. In the book of Revelation, we have the finality of Christ. Do you see here the greatest teacher? The Lord Jesus. Do you see here the greatest textbook? God's infallible Word. Do you see here the greatest theme? The things concerning Himself. The things in Scripture that concern Himself. You know, Christ did what some of the modern scholars aren't able to do. He saw Himself in the Old Testament standing somewhere in the shadows. You'll find Jesus. You open up your Bible anywhere and you'll find Christ somewhere, for Christ is the key to the Scriptures. Wouldn't you like to have been there that day on the mountain road? When Christ opened up the scriptures and expounded unto them the things concerning himself. Beginning in Genesis chapter 3 with the seed of the woman, going up to Mount Moriah in Abraham's day with the offering up of Isaac. In Exodus, he would be perceived as the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he would be seen as the scapegoat. In Numbers, he's the rock in the wilderness. In Joshua, he's the captain of the Lord's host. In the Psalms and the prophets, we're told of his suffering, his death, his resurrection. I wonder what the risen Lord said about Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. What did he say about the son given in Isaiah 9? I wonder what he said about Isaiah 53. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. What a Bible reading. Into Jeremiah, into Ezekiel, into Daniel, right through the minor prophets, the things concerning himself. I wonder, did Christ conclude with the book of Malachi, and the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings? Can you imagine it? Can you picture it? Can you visualize it? The incarnate word interpreted the inspired word in the greatest Bible study of all time on the Emmaus Road. The living word brought the written word to life. Beyond the sacred page, they met the Lord. Do you know what the psalmist says? While I was musing, the fire burned. While I was musing, the fire burned. Have you done any musing this past week? You know what it means to meditate, to go over it. Do you want to meet the risen Lord? My friend, get your heart into the Word of God and get the Word of God into your heart. Jeremiah said, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. Could it be that you've stepped into this house this morning and you've come despondent, distressed, disillusioned, downcast? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Get into the written word and you'll see Christ, the living word, and he'll set your heart on fire. Picture number one. The stranger that is unrecognized. Picture number two, the scripture that is unfolded. Very quickly, picture number three, the Savior that is unveiled. They're home now. The miles melted away, and before they knew it, they're there. Look at verse 28. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, abide with us. How much Christ loves to be constrained, implored, and treated by his people. He never turns away when he's invited, for we read he went in. Isn't it a happy home that recognizes Christ as the Lord of the table and remembers that he's always there? Wouldn't our conversation at the dinner table be so different? We remember that he's there. See what happened here very quickly. There was a recognition of his person, verse 30. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake. And their eyes were opened and they knew, and then he vanished out of their sight. Later on, we're told he was known of them in breaking of bread. I wonder, was it the way that Christ took the bread and broke it and gave it to them that made them recognize him? Or was it the sight you and I expect to see in glory? Sight of those nail-scarred hands. Whatever, they knew him. The unrecognized Christ was recognized and the scales were removed from their eyes. Let me ask you this morning, who has blurred your vision of Christ? What has blurred your vision of Christ? Once you could testify with the psalmist, I have set the Lord always before me, but not now. Does your vision need to be restored? There was a recognition of his person. Look at verse 32. There was a realization of his presence. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? The word burn means to set on fire, to kindle. Broken hearts, burdened hearts had given way to burning hearts. John Wesley was asked on one occasion, what was the secret of his ministry? He said, I ask God to set me on fire and let people come to see me burn. In the Bible, fire often represents the presence of the Lord. You see, they realized the presence of the Lord and it gave them a burning heart. They were now excited. They were zealous. They were fervent about Christ. What about your heart this morning? Is it like ice? Or is it on fire? I mean, dear friends, is this holy heartburn not lacking in our fellowships? Isn't it amazing that we Christians get all excited about sport and politics and business and holidays and cars and houses, but when it comes to the things concerning Christ, our hearts are cold and dead? A recognition of his person. A realization of his presence. But look at verse 32, verse 33. A resumption of his purpose thereof. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. The very hour, that very hour, they're off to tell others. Now listen. I'm going to Jerusalem soon, leading a party of almost 50 people. But we go in air-conditioned coaches. Here's these two. They've tramped 7 miles out of the city down to the Emmaus village. They're dead weary with all their travel and excitement. But now they must go back to the city. They have a message to proclaim. They have a fact to declare. They have a victory to share. Christ is risen. You see, they declared what they had come to know. Can I challenge you this morning? Is that what you're doing? They went 7 miles out of their way to declare the Easter evangel. I wonder if you and I ever gone 7 yards out of our way to tell folk there's a living Savior, but tomorrow he's coming back to judge. Have you a burning heart that propels you out in service for him? I finished. Back to David Livingstone. When he buried his wife on African soil, he got down on that soil and he prayed, my Jesus, my King, my life, my all, I again consecrate myself to thee. I shall place no value on anything I possess or in anything I do except in relation to thy kingdom and to thy service. And through it all, he heard the words of the Lord Jesus, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. When he eventually returned to his house, his village, someone had stolen his medication. He desperately needed it because he was constantly in pain. He got on his knees and he prayed, God, you promised that you would always be with me. I need that medication if I'm to continue to preach the gospel to the African villages. And as he prayed, he looked up and he saw the face of a white man and he said, who are you, sir? And he said, Dr. Livingstone, I presume. I'm a press reporter from the United Kingdom. I've come to do a story on your life, and I want you to know two things. One, I'm the biggest swaggering atheist on the face of the earth, so please don't try and convert me. Number two, someone sent you this medicine. H.M. Stanley started to travel with David Livingstone. And 4 months later, 12 weeks later, the biggest swaggering atheist on the face of the earth got down on African soil and gave his life to Christ. He said this, the power of that Christ life was awesome. I could not hold out any longer. Livingstone's burning heart had brought H.M. Stanley to his knees. A heart aglow for Christ. Is that your heart? Is that mine? The haunting specter of the smoke of 1,000 villages in the morning sun has burned within my heart. Fill me, O Lord, with thy desire. For all who know not thee, then touch my lips with holy fire to speak of Calvary. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the instruction, the encouragement, and the challenge of your word. Grant, Lord, that those who have come into this house today with burdened hearts will leave with burning hearts. Father, we pray that we might constantly turn our eyes upon the Savior, that as we search the Scriptures, that we might see him, and that he might set our hearts on fire. Forgive us, Lord, when we have been cold, indifferent, lukewarm, filled with apathy. We remember what thou didst say to the church at Laodicea. Because thou art neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. O God, give us hearts that are on fire for Christ. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn that's going to come up on our screens. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary. Let's stand as we sing our closing hymn.
Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow.
Father, we pray for the activities of this church throughout the day in open airs, the preaching of the gospel. We pray, Lord, that as we come back again to this house tonight to exalt Christ as the only Savior of sinners, we pray, Lord, that your presence will be with us. And we pray, Lord, that even through the ministry of this church today, souls would be saved, backsliders restored, and we, the people of God, might be revived. Take us now to our homes in safety. Part us in thy fear and with thy favor. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.